Our sermon text for tonight comes from 2 Timothy, as we're continuing in our series through 2 Timothy. And tonight's message comes from chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. So I'll be reading verses 14 through 21. So hear now God's holy, inspired word. Remind them of these things, and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for his blessing on it. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the word of truth, which is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we pray that through that word, you would speak to us now, that you would build us up, and that you would indeed make us holy and fit, ready for every good work. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless me as I speak your word, that you, Lord, would speak through me. And we pray these things, that you might be honored and you might be glorified among your people in your house. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Paul, has been writing to Timothy in this letter. And in chapter 1, in the beginning of chapter 2, Paul keeps telling Timothy, make sure you preserve the word. Preserve the word. You could summarize his message in the first section of the letter in that way. He tells Timothy, follow the pattern of sound words that I've given you. Entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others these words that I'm giving to you. Timothy, guard the good deposit, the deposit of the gospel and these truths that I'm giving to you. So preserve the word, because the word is God's tool for building his kingdom, for convicting and converting sinners and building up his people. Well, in our verses for tonight, Paul begins to address a real danger with the word, a present danger in the church. You may preserve the word of Scripture, but Timothy, you've got to handle those words rightly. Handle those words rightly. Because the word of God preserved can be used in two ways. It can be used in an ungodly way, which brings ruin to the hearers. Or it can be used rightly, in which it brings about God's purposes and brings about holiness in his people. So We're going to look at those two ways in which the word can be used. Paul begins, and he charges Timothy to remind the teachers of these things that he's been teaching Timothy. Remind them of the gospel. And he says, charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Paul is very serious here. Charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Because the first way in which the word can be misused is it can be used to quarrel about words. Now, what's Paul talking about? Words, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, words are very important. And in fact, Paul says, make sure you follow the pattern of sound words. The very words that are being entrusted to you are important. And sometimes in the history of the church has been called to fight to preserve those words. But Paul here is not talking about fighting to preserve the word of truth, but he's talking about quarrels that result from human speculation about the meaning of words. So, you can take the word of God, and you can take certain words, and you can use those as a pretext to build your own system, and you can use that to fight against other people. Some of you may have had experiences in churches where factions have arisen out of certain interpretations of certain words that are not critical to the gospel. They're not central, and yet those become the stakes for people. Those become swords for people to tear down the body of Christ. And Paul says, when you begin that kind of quarreling about words, it ruins the hearers. And the word here actually for ruin is the Greek word for that's translated catastrophe. It's a catastrophe. So literally, this kind of quarreling brings catastrophe in the church. The Lord has not called us to fight and quarrel and tear down one another over words. He has called us to fight and contend for the truth of the gospel. And that's why Paul begins by saying, remind them of these things. Well, what are the things that he's telling Timothy to remind them of? Well, it's the gospel. He's referring to the words very immediately in verses 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He's the promised offspring of David. He's the promised Messiah. And Paul says, this saying is trustworthy and true. If we have died with him, Christ came to die for sinners, and if we have died with him, we also will live with him. If we endure, we also will reign with him. Paul says, remind them of this, the gospel, the heart of the gospel, and don't get off into quarreling about words. Well, secondly, Paul says you can mishandle the word through irreverent babble. And in verse 16, Paul charges Timothy, avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Now, what is irreverent babble? Irreverent babble comes from human speculation about truths that God has not revealed in his word. In fact, Paul was warning Timothy about this in his first letter. He says, don't wander off into myths and discussions about genealogies which promote speculation and don't produce the good order of faith in God. And he tells Timothy, the aim of our charge is love, the good conscience, and a sincere faith. irreverent babble, speculation. So that's a temptation for humans to begin speculating about things that God has not revealed. In Paul's time, there were a lot of speculations about the genealogy of angels. Where did angels come from, and what was happening before the fall? And people get off into these speculations, and they build these systems, and they begin to lead people away from the truth. And when you begin speculating, you end up leading people away from the truth. And Paul gives an example here of Hymenaeus and Philetus. They've been speculating about things that have not been revealed, and their speculation has ultimately led them to deny the future resurrection, has led them to say, the resurrection has already happened, that's not a future hope. And Paul says they're upsetting the faith of some. That can be a temptation even for us, right? In the Reformed world, as we think about the mystery of the Trinity. One God, and yet three persons. God has revealed himself to be one God. He's revealed himself to be three persons. How can God be both one and three? Well, that is beyond our minds to fully grasp. But if we begin to speculate because we want to fit the Trinity within our minds, then we can be led astray away from the truth. And we can end up denying that God is one God. We can end up denying that he's three persons. Or wrestling with the mystery of God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. How can God both be sovereign and yet we responsible? Well, God has not revealed all the workings of that to us, but he has revealed to us that he is sovereign, and we can praise him for it. He's revealed to us that we are responsible to respond to his word, and so we can respond to his word. In fact, in our passage tonight, we see this. Paul encourages Timothy, although these speculations have upset the faith of some, don't be upset, don't be anxious, Timothy. The Lord knows who are his. The Lord's sheep will not be snatched out of his hand. It says, God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. And the second part of the seal, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. You can rest, Timothy, in God's sovereignty. He knows those who are his, and he's going to protect them. But charge people that if they name the name of the Lord, they should depart from iniquity.
Because in the great house, there are vessels for dishonor and vessels for honor.
So listen to the word, that you might not be a vessel of dishonor. God's sovereignty and our responsibility, our call to respond. How do those two things work? Well, we can be led off into fruitless speculation, which ends up leading us to deny God's sovereignty or man's responsibility, or we can receive the word in love and in faith and say, praise the Lord that he knows who are his, and we can respond, Lord, let me obey your word. So speculation ends up in leading people to swerve from the truth. And as it leads people away from the truth, it also leads people into ungodliness. Paul says, avoid the irreverent babble because it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And that kind of talk spreads like gangrene. And this reminds us that the purpose of God's word is to lead us to godliness. The purpose of his word is holiness. And this moves us to the second point. Paul says, avoid irreverent babble and don't quarrel about words, but instead handle the word rightly.
Well, how do we handle the word rightly?
We handle the word rightly first in the way we speak it, and secondly, in the way we receive it.
In verse 15, Paul charges Timothy, do your best, and the Greek literally is be zealous to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth.
Rightly handling. Now, the word rightly handling there, it literally means to carve along a pattern. He says, use the word in such a way that you're carving along a pattern.
And that really draws from two images here. It draws on the idea that the word of God is a sword.
It's a two-edged sword. It's the sword of the Spirit.
And when you speak the word of God, then the Spirit does his work in the hearts of people. But he also uses the idea of following a pattern. As we've already mentioned, Paul says, follow the pattern of sound words. So as you're speaking the words of God, use the pattern that you've been given, the pattern of the gospel.
Don't wander off into vain speculations and irreverent babble, but proclaim the word of God.
And so Paul says, follow the pattern of sound words. Now, that word sound also, it literally in Greek means healthy.
See, the word of God is our healthy words because they produce health in the hearers. They produce health in the people of God.
What a contrast from the quarreling over words and the irreverent babble.
Irreverent babble, it produces ungodliness and leads people away from Christ.
But proclaiming the word of God, proclaiming
faithfully the gospel, produces life and health and growth in people.
So Paul says, rightly handle the word
in the way you speak it. But we also rightly handle
the word in the way we're receiving it,
in the way we receive it, by receiving the word in love and in faith.
Receiving it in love and faith.
And so this is why Paul reminds Timothy of the second half of God's seal, the foundation. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity.
When we receive the word of God in love and in faith, then we respond to it in obedience.
And we see in
verse 21, Paul says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. What is the aim of God's word? What is the aim of receiving God's word? Well, what is God's aim in giving his word?
God's aim is to produce holiness in his people.
That is God's purpose, to produce holiness in his people. Remember what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, right, at the very beginning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who chose us in him to be holy and blameless before him without reproach.
He chose you to be in Christ so that you might be holy.
He says it again in Colossians when he writes, you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh in order to present you holy and blameless before him.
That is God's aim, holiness.
And this is why the Lord Jesus prays and his high priestly prayer in John 17. Lord, I thank you for those, for all you have given to me. Father, he says, sanctify them. Make them holy. And how? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So how do you listen? How do you receive the word? Do you receive it in order to arm yourself to fight others about words? Do you listen to it in order to wander off into speculations about things that God has not revealed? Or do you receive it in order for God to work holiness through his Holy Spirit? Remember, the aim of God is to produce holiness in you. And his aim is to produce holiness throughout this whole world. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Father, hallowed be your name. Let your name be hallowed by this world as people are made holy. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, he arms you with his word in order to speak it so that he might produce holiness. And he gives you the word and he speaks the word to you through the scriptures, through your brothers and sisters, through the preachers and the pastors that he's and the teachers that he set over you in order to produce in you holiness. So receive his word with love and faith. And may he build up his church and may he work in us and sanctify us and present us holy and blameless before him on the last day. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your powerful, mighty, glorious word. We thank you that you have called us, you have chosen us in Christ in order that we might walk before you in holiness. And we pray that you would give us hearts to love that word, to receive it in faith, and to handle it rightly, and to speak it faithfully. And we pray these things that you might be glorified in us, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.